Welcome back to the Healthy Conversations podcast. Highlight episode number 2. Today we'll be covering company culture, which has been a huge talking point for Matt over the course of this podcast. And today we've got 6 great clips from past episodes, namely from Walter Kinsey, the founder and CEO of Encore Live, Jason Forrest, author, speaker, and CEO of one of the best places to work in Fort Worth, Ryan Vinson, the CEO and co-founder of Mineralware, Will Leahy, head of L&D at Virgin Orbit, Darian George, the founder of Mackenzie Eason and Associates, and finally, Mike McAuliffe, president of the Riata Restaurant. Before we jump in, don't forget to subscribe to the Healthy Conversations podcast, share this episode with anyone you think might find it interesting, even a little bit, as well as sign up for Matt's newsletter in the description below. Every couple weeks, you will get an email in your inbox talking about Matt's thoughts about the trends in healthcare, things that we're seeing currently, and what we might see in the future, as well as Matt's book and podcast recommendations. Subscribe to that in the link below. Let's jump right into our first clip with Walter Kinsey talking about problems that companies run into when implementing a culture, and especially issues at the executive level.
What would you say kind of the biggest one or two mistakes that you see kind of mid-size employers making kind of on that culture front? I feel like a lot of large employers kind of figure out the culture, but I think there might be some that takes a lot of money to have a fancy culture, things like that. Like what do you see kind of are some mistakes people are making?
We're seeing it with regularly and most often with medium and large companies. The executive team is not fully ingrained with what's happening on the floor. You know, there's a brand, I'm not going to go into it because they're a customer of ours, but there's a very large big box brand that brought in a new CEO a number of years ago. And this was a brand that prior to the family selling the business, and these are large, 100,000, 150,000 square foot retail outlets. Prior to the family selling the business to private equity, you know, they all ate lunch together. The CEO didn't have a parking spot, just parked with the regular, with all the other employees. First one there gets the best parking spot type of mentality. They had lunch together every day. The offices were open. Doors were always open. There was never a division between. Well, they, you know, sell the company for billions of dollars, and private equity comes in and takes over, hires a new leadership team, and the new CEO puts in a new parking garage for just the executives, puts in a private elevator that goes right up to his office, puts in a new cafeteria that only the executives can eat at, and goes weeks or months without interacting with the regular employees, the ones that are truly talking to the customer, driving the work, creating the opportunity. And then they're all sitting there scratching their head a year later when business is down and employees are quitting and they're spending more money on recruiting and whatnot than they ever have before. And they just can't figure it out. Well, you know, that story can be told a number of different ways. And if you look at our new ad campaign, we address some of those things in the campaign, which is why we love it so much, where, you know, things aren't going well. So let's just give us a new name or a new logo. Let's rebrand it. Let's have a new color. And that will drive these results that we need. This is who we are. Let's create a new mission statement or whatnot. And surely we'll get the results then. No. At the end of the day, we need to sit across the table from each other. We need to look each other in the eye. We need to hear what's going on. We need to solve the problems together. And as the employee, you need to feel like you've been heard. As an employee, you need to feel like you have a chance to influence this thing. And if you don't, you're going to go someplace where you can do that. And likewise, if you're trying to drive the big results of a business from an executive or a boardroom position, you better deeply connect with your employees, or you're just going to continue to have problem after problem. And they may not always be very visible to you. I see lots of brands that think that they're kicking butt and don't even really fully realize how big their problems are. And we make a couple different tweaks. We do just a couple different things with helping them drive a more dynamic culture within their organization. And we've seen businesses that were healthy and thriving. We've seen businesses get a 20 to 35% lift in business just by improving their culture. Just by, instead of announcing over a conference call or an email, we're going to do these three things to improve margin this summer. We're going to do these three things to improve ticket average this summer. And transferring that into a way that the executive team can deliver those that information face-to-face and then shut up and listen to their employees, give their feedback in the moment, and then adjust the plan on the spot. We've actually seen businesses that have received a 20 to 35% lift just in the way that they relay the information. And that is marketing results. That is return on investment like nobody has ever seen before. But that's how serious culture is.
Next up, we'll hear from Jason Forrest about the power of authenticity and the process of becoming a great place to work, one of the top places to work in Fort Worth.
I'd be interested what authenticity means to you, how you incorporate that into work, home. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so authenticity is a really interesting word because you know, for the longest time, it became this kind of buzzword. It was almost like a safe word. So, for example, we would go in and teach people how to improve a certain skill set, and they would say, "Jason, I have a hard time doing this. It doesn't feel authentic to me." And it's almost like this safe word that meant, okay, like mercy, mercy, I can stop training now because it doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel who I am. Well, I got bugged by that word because I felt like it was a defense mechanism for someone to basically say, I don't need to be trained anymore, you know? And so we actually looked up the definition of the word. Well, the word actually comes from some Greek and Latin roots that it's like hentos that mean basically growing, that mean evolving, that mean learning, that mean adapting. That's actually what authentic is. So your authentic self is your best self means your growing, changing, improving self. That's what to be authentic actually means. So so there's also another connection to the word authentic that when back in the, you know, Greek times or Latin times that in the Roman times, if someone was authentic, it means that they were masterful at it. It means that the most authentic doctor was the one that was the most natural and gifted at healing someone at their trait, right? So to our version of authentic is you want to be authentic from the definition of how can I be better than I was yesterday? How can I be challenged? How can I grow? How can I improve? How can I, if saying a certain script to a customer is going to give the customer more certainty and it's a better way of saying it, and you say to yourself, well, gosh, this doesn't feel authentic to me. Yeah. What you should say instead is that, yes, this is a better way to get the outcome I desire. However, it feels currently uncomfortable. But that's okay. That's how life is. It's uncomfortable because I haven't said it 1,000 times, but the way that I'm currently saying it is not getting the result that I need. It's not giving the customer certainty or education or providing value to them. And so instead of just kind of deflecting and using that safe word of it's not authentic, what I want you to say instead is it doesn't feel comfortable. And now I just need to embrace it. I need to embrace the suck, which is what the Navy SEALs say. Yeah. And I need to learn it. I need to grow. I need to improve. And I will be better tomorrow than I was yesterday.
Along the same lines, I mean, you've been a top place to work for many years. I mean, how did you think about that in the first few years? Were you just trying to survive at that point? And any advice for, call it a local company that wants to be one of those top places to work, what would you recommend for somebody like that?
So it was actually a conscious decision of ours from pretty much day one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
When I started my company, I had one employee, but The belief system that I have is that you spend more time at work than you do in any other category of your life.
Yeah.
So you spend more time with the people you work with than you do your significant others, or you do your friends or family members, any other people in your life, any other category in your life, your religion, whatever it is. And so if that's the case, then what I wanted to do is from a really a selfish perspective more than a selfless perspective, but it ended up becoming selfless as well, is that I wanted to create a place that I wanted to go to every day. I wanted to create a place where I wanted to hang around these people every day, and I wanted to, you know, crack jokes with them, and I wanted to surround myself with people that were just as passionate about what we were trying to do and their work and their artistry and their craft and their mission. And so one of the things that we are all about is we want to create, you know, a great place to work that that attracts people that want to do the best work of their life every day, that want to kind of make a calling or make an impact in the world. And you know, FPG is their calling. You know, that's important to us. But that's just a decision, you know, that we've made, that again, we spend the majority of our life at work. And so how can we make FPG a place where people want to come to work versus have to come to work? We joke all the time that we're not a cult, we're a culture. But I will tell you, the reason why we're best place to work is because we hire people. We're very clear on what we want, right? And the kind of culture we're trying to create. And we hire people that want what we want. Because I promise you, if we hired incorrectly, we probably wouldn't have won the best place to work awards 4 years in a row now.
Blasted
because they're like, what kind of whack a job place is that? You know, they wouldn't want to be here.
Yeah, so makes sense.
Now let's hear from Ryan Vinson about how important company culture is in mineralware from the standpoint of a CEO of a startup.
I mean, one of the things that has come up over the past 10, 12 episodes that we've done on this show is culture, the employee experience, things like that, how you think about experience marketing, and how culture drives performance. How do you think about that? Given that you're really in growth mode, you've gone 5 years, the company is operating smoothly. Like, how do you guys think about that 5 years into your experience?
Well, I mean, the culture of mineralware is really number one. And I think I would lump in the kind of the employee experience in with company culture. You know, company culture, it encompasses so much. It's really the personality of our company. It's the foundation of everything that we build. It really includes a variety of elements, from our work environment, from our office space, our core focus, our core values, our expectations, our goals, the type of people that we hire and retain. I mean, if you look at it, my number one responsibility as CEO is to lead and guide and direct an attractive culture, one that really attracts, stimulates, grows, and retains our team. And so we have a goal, a 2020 goal, to be the number one company to work for in Fort Worth. And, you know, we qualified for last year. We're very proud of the fact we were in the top 10 our first year being in. And so our goal for next year is to be number one, you know, and our motto is, if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, Ricky
and
Bobby.
And so one of the things that we're doing, you know, we just had our quarterly meeting yesterday, and this is a box that sits in our break room, and the folks, you know, are able to put in suggestions on how we can achieve that goal and be the best company to work for in Fort Worth. So we're doing a lot of new things. I think we had 9 suggestions in this box, and we're incorporating 7 of those suggestions.
Okay.
So I told the team yesterday during the meeting, I said, "Hey, we're actually listening to you, and in fact, we're you know, including 7 of your suggestions." And our new perks immediately. One of those new perks is Free Friday. So once a month, they have basically one Friday a month they can work from home, and they only have to work a half day. The other half day is off.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The other one that we're doing is they get to work basically from home from Christmas all the way to New Year's. So although it's not an extra week of vacation, you know, they do kind of...
Feels like it.
Yeah, it feels like it. And if they're in the mountains and visiting their family, they can ski during the day, work at night, or kind of pick out their work hours. And the last, another one that we're doing, I think is going to be really fun, we're doing, it's called Mineralware of Fortune. So we're getting this wheel created, and it's going to have all of our team's names on it. So we're going to have a happy hour once a month. We're going to spin the wheel. The first 4 names that are chosen, we'll go to lunch together, and then they have the rest of the day off. And
like
we just think it's really important to, you know, get to know your team members on a personal level as well.
Next is Will Leahy talking about how an executive changeup can really affect the culture of an organization and the trend of job hopping as it relates to different generations.
Does a company's culture at, say, Hulu affect that in any way, or is everything in flux at that point and the new CEO is going to bring their own culture? That seems to be coming up tremendously in all of these podcast episodes. So I was curious what that was like from a culture perspective.
Yeah, one of them will bend. I mean, I think the culture, and so much of the culture of a business is in its history, it's in its story, it's in its founders, and it's in its foundation. So a new CEO, I think, has to do a great job of bending into that while also maintaining their identity and moving the business forward. But the bigger clash from a new person to the culture, the harder the change is, and oftentimes it doesn't work. And so my role is to help this leader embrace the culture and understand. The first step is just to understand it and understand the history and be almost reverent towards it with the people that have been around and been there and understanding of it, but also painting the picture of the path forward in a way that allows people to come along. And helping to craft that message is really important. So I did a lot of email writing and sessions and listening groups and focus groups and helped coach leaders how to have some difficult conversations or to say, you know what, that's probably not a good idea. That is really not the culture here. Let me help you recraft that.
Interesting. I mean, during your grad school time, you did some research around job hopping. I mean, what is your thoughts on that? What are people typically doing? What is healthy? Yeah. Is it every 2 years? Is it every five? Or does it depend on the opportunities at your current employer? What are you seeing there? And has it really changed after a couple years of experience post-grad?
Yeah, just data shows, and Deloitte does a great job of yearly sort of pushing out their job report and what this landscape looks like. But long and short of it is people are staying at their jobs much less frequently than before. And I postulate that's because the job visibility has increased dramatically through LinkedIn and Glassdoor. People are just more able to shop around. It's easier to be reached out to. And so just the visibility has gone up. It used to be you had to wait for a phone call or you have to see a help wanted sign, and it was slower. So just that technology construct has changed the landscape. But also people are getting bored more quickly. And so it's up to companies to figure out, how do I keep this person engaged and invested, and they have to know what their next step is internally, or else someone externally is going to tell them their next step, and it's not going to be here. And so a lot of my master's research was around, are there generational differences? So I did a cross-generational study of what keeps somebody retained longer. And does it matter if you're, let's say, Gen Z or X or baby boomer or whatever? And what my research came down to is no, it actually doesn't matter. Across every generation, there's something that's actually the same. People just want to know what their next step is and if they are going to be developed into it and if it's clear for them. And if your company is not making that path clear, a different company will, and the technology and visibility is going to make that more available. So that's sort of the secret sauce, I think, that I try and build here is career pathing and then the development and shepherding to get people into that place and helping them see a path 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but also knowing that we're probably not going to have people for 10 years. And so planning your business around that reality and being realistic is important too.
Yeah, that makes total sense. That's interesting that even the baby boomers want the exact same thing that a millennial wants. I think most people don't realize that, but it's not super surprising when you explained it that way. I mean, people want meaning in their work.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't subscribe to the all the talk around millennials and this next generation of Gen Z coming in. I mean, there are differences, don't get me wrong. And I think there are things that have bubbled up like flexibility and work from home and that weren't as important. But you also have to remember that technology is making that available. The video conferencing software and the way that remote working is happening is it the fact that this generation wants that, or is it the fact that that's actually a viable thing that a business can do now because of technology?
Next up, we'll hear from Darian George about tracking and grading company culture in a software as a service, as well as diversity and inclusion in organizations, and a great story about the legend of the creation of Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yeah, I mean, I've done maybe 10 or 11 of these shows at this point. And culture, I would say, it just happens to be, I would say, the most common theme that seems to be coming up in all of these, regardless of it, if it's healthcare or more just a pure business executive.
And you know the funny thing about that? So it's talked about more than anything right now.
Yeah.
But it's the thing that's least understood by most companies. Most companies don't even know what their culture is. They talk about it in this way that's either aspirational or
a mission statement.
And most of them don't understand what their culture is and don't know how to align their culture with what their business strategy is. Most of the time when we go in and do consulting, little side note, besides McKinsey's, and I've got a startup that is, it's a software as a service to go and measure a company's culture across the entire organization. And you can see, then we can show you, here's what the C-suite thinks it is. Here's what the front line, the management, different departments, locations. And the idea is there's usually a disconnect between what the C-suite thinks it is, very aspirational, and the front lines. Even then, most organizations still don't understand what their culture is. It's such a squishy thing that people go, oh, our culture is, working with a client who, they think their culture is once a month when they go do these dress up happy hours. That's not your culture of your organization. That's a very, very small piece of it. So it's one of the things that people talk about all the time and really, truly still have no idea what they're talking about.
One of the things, I go to a lot of Fort Worth HR events, and a lot of conversations nowadays have been around diversity and inclusion and how to incorporate that.
It's a big topic these days.
Yeah, seems to be coming up in more and more meetings. Given almost two decades in the human capital and HR space, any general advice there?
So that's a complicated...
Yeah, for sure. Definitely a loaded question.
And especially in today's partisan political environment. However, what I always try to go back to, and this is what we've designed all of our processes are designed around, what does research and science say? Look, research and science shows diverse groups of people within organizations show more profitable results. And the reason is, so at all levels, and that's, it's not just, oh, let's bring in, we got to bring in a female person for the leadership team, right? It is at all levels that you have diversity, and diversity is not just color. It's not just, gender. It's different backgrounds. It's different socioeconomic levels. If you have diverse groups of people, at all levels, you get differing ideas. They see things that other people don't see. Great example, I just read about a couple weeks ago. There was Cheetos, right? Was a brand that had basically topped out. It was not seeing increased sales, and they were looking for anybody in the organization to help increase sales. And so they put it out there literally to everyone in the organization. And a janitor.
Yeah, I read that article. That was awesome.
Did you read off the Hustle?
Yeah.
And this is a great example, right? This is a janitor who spoke very little English, had been in California and took his job very seriously as a janitor.
Yeah.
And he went home and he put together this sample. And he contacted literally the CEO, because that's what it said. Yeah. And so, and that's a great example of no one else in the company, all the executives, all the salespeople, and it rattled some feathers, right? You have this janitor that came up with Flaming Hot Cheetos, which has been one of their best sellers
for years.
And so they even ended up going to be an executive in the company. But it's just a great example that I recognize diversity brings different ideas that you would not normally find.
He went out of his way, tested it on his family and friends, totally different market. Yeah, that was a great article.
Finally, let's round it out with Mike McAuliffe about advice to people wanting to start a restaurant in Fort Worth and the key to retaining talent in the restaurant industry.
What advice would you give to somebody starting a restaurant or business here in Fort Worth?
Yeah, the thing that I've seen recently, and I think it's a great way to get your name out there, is doing pop-up. You know, so one of my good friends is the Hot Box Biscuit.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, so it's good friends of mine, but that's a great way to get your name out, you know, get that installed base of customers before you actually turn on the lights.
Yeah, it was packed when we went.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that's a great way to kind of get your toes wet before doing it. So I think the other way that people have thought about doing that in the past was the food trucks, which is fine, but obviously it's a pretty different dining experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? We're now with the pop-ups, that's becoming...
You can charge a flat fee.
You can go find some different unique locations to have them in. And it's still a sit-down meal. We're transitioning from, you know, from a food truck to a sit-down meal is a little bit different. So, but obviously, I mean, you've seen Taco Heads, you know, Sarah over there, it's a great example of something that started in a food truck, has moved into a couple permanent locations now.
Yeah. To jump back a little bit, I mean, is it difficult to retain talent in the restaurant industry, just given the tremendous turnover? Like, how do you think of that aspect? Just because I imagine that's very difficult.
It is, but I mean, I think it's different for everybody specifically. I do think when you have some new restaurants opening up, you've spent millions of dollars to open up a location, and you need to hire some more kitchen staff, you're willing to pay more because at some point you've got to get open because you've already dumped a couple $1 million into that investment. You know, for that restaurant, if they start paying everybody a little bit more, all of a sudden their costs get skewed, or they're going to have to change their menu pricing to offset that. Also, from like, especially on the server side, I think whatever the environment, the employment environment is in general affects things. So, you know, we go back to like 2008, 2009, when you had the economic collapse, right? We didn't hire a server for 18 months. Now, we still had a lot of servers that are working their way through school and working at Riata. The problem is, once they graduated, there were no other jobs available. Certainly no other jobs that they could make as much as they were making at Riata. We didn't have to hire anybody for 18 months. You fast forward to now, where you have that same person as they're working way through school, they're getting a lot more options. You know, and we've lost people to being, you know, flight attendants. You know, but that's been a market they've been hiring a lot of people lately, you know, and obviously with American Airlines based right here in Fort Worth, it's kind of almost a nice little feeder system for them. And if you really go back and seeing, you know, the skills to be a good hostess or to be a good server is very similar to being a good flight attendant.
Makes sense.
Thanks for tuning in to this company culture highlight episode of the Healthy Conversations podcast. We will be back with two more highlight episodes covering different aspects of the podcast and conversations that have come up with Matt. We're really excited to put these together for you. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, go ahead and do that now, as well as sign up for Matt's newsletter in the link below. Every couple weeks, you will get a great email in your inbox about Matt's thoughts on the healthcare industry, trends that we're seeing, where we're going in the future, as well as his book and podcast recommendations. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next episode.